My name is Pete DeLeo. I am an addict. My clean date's 1/17/2017. That's a little bit over 5 years, and by the grace of God, I had to put in the footwork to do what I needed to get clean. You know, I'm gonna read what the topic is. It says, and bear with me because I don't read that well. But when we are in a crisis, we may try all kinds of escapes and excuses before we resort to the steps. We can be tolerant, angry, defensive, resentful, guilty, and resentful. Testing the patience and tolerance of these around us. The only way out is through. We must roll up our sleeves and get to work. These struggles often push us into the next phase of our recovery. We can come out stronger and healthier people for the experience if we are willing to do the work. You know, guys, my name is Pete and I'm an addict. I came into rooms in 2005. It took me 14 years to get clean because I was that type of person that could come in and get some things together in my life, you know, because I came in for all the wrong reasons. See, I came in to either get my family to trust me again or my children to be a part of my life or just simply to get a job so I could financially take care of my responsibilities. You know, but the gifts of the program started working in my life, I tended to stop coming to meetings and stop working steps. You know, and stop contacting my sponsor, you know, and it happened over 14 years, you know, and 1/17/2017, they say a person who doesn't work the steps are more acceptable to going out and using, and that was me. You know, I could do 1 through 3 and give it to God. And then I thought I was all cured, you know, because I gave it to my higher power. And then I would do off-the-wall recovery because, see, I thought that, you know, if I could speak the lingo and I could, you know, pick up a few things that people said in rooms, I could, you know, I could coast through, you know. And it never worked out like that. So my biggest hang-up was that I couldn't read or write when I came into rooms with Narcotics Anonymous. And my ego and pride got in the way. You know, I didn't want nobody to know, see, because as long as the outside looked good, I didn't have to work on the inside. You know, and I guess I was real bashful. You know, I had a second grade reading level. You know, when I was in school, they never even tried to teach me how to read. They just kind of passed me on. You know, and they didn't know how to diagnose my learning disability, which is dyslexia. You know, and so I was so ashamed of it that I didn't want to sit down with another human, with another man, and let him know my true disabilities, you know, because I had a disability, you know. And growing up, you know, they always told me, you know, why don't you go, Pete, you know, the teachers and the schools, you know, why don't you go ahead and go get a Social Security check, because, you know, you'll never amount to anything in life. You know, you'll never be able to read, you'll never be able to write. And so I carried that through my addiction. It was one of my crutches, you know, that I would never amount to anything, so I used more and more. You know, I don't like to fantasize about the drug using because that's in my past. But there wasn't nothing that I never did. You know, I lied, I cheated, I manipulated, I stole. You know, I did a lot of horrible things in my addiction. And it's not about what I did, it's what I've done today. And what I've done today is I've worked all 12 steps. You know, I've worked all 12 traditions, and I've worked steps multiple times. But the, you know, I want to go back to when I was, you know, when I sat down with a man 1/17/2017, I had to get honest with him, you know, and told him that, hey, man, I can't read or write. And so this man told me, he said, you know what, Pete, let's work the steps, and I'll read you the questions, and I want you to answer them. You know, but it wasn't until I opened up and tell somebody some honest things about me that this man came to love me for who I was and understood that I couldn't read or write. You know, so I want to tell y'all that if, you know, if I can work the steps and not being able to read or write and work all 12 steps, not more than once, then there is a possibility that other people can too. You know, but it wasn't until I looked outside the box. You know, I was so self-centered that I thought it was all about me. You know, I'm grateful for the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous because it taught me how to live a life today that I never dreamed of. You know, and working them steps, man, freed me. You know, I want to go, I really love the basic text, man. You know, I mean, it's everything about me. You know, I know I'm all over the place because I've been working nights and for about 17 weeks straight, and my meeting schedules have really fell off, and my recovery's been on the back burner, you know, but I know where I need to be is right here at this convention, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm thankful for the men that are a part of my life today that call upon me and ask me if I'm okay, you know, and especially, you know, a man that's sitting in this room, man, he helped me through a lot of situations in my recovery, you know, and loved me through them. You know, I've built some major relationships in recovery by working the steps and learning how to love myself, you know, and I worked the steps and I learned that, you know, that I've built relationships with my family members, my children. You know, I'm successful in my job today. I'm a productive member of society. But I could have never done that by not working the steps. You know, so I really had to get to work, you know. I processed all 12 steps in 6 months in my first time go around. I don't suggest that for anybody else, but I know me. If I wouldn't have stayed in the literature working those steps, then I knew that I was more acceptable of going back out. And the only thing I did was I took the icing off the cake. You know, and my sponsor always told me, you know, just, hey, man, keep it simple. You know, I hate to say this, but this is true. Keep it simple, stupid, because I was stupid when I came in here. You know, and I don't mean to say that because I was literally stupid. You know, I couldn't read or write, you know, but I hate to say that because I'm not stupid today. You know, and I learned that, you know, that by working the steps, I've learned who I am and what I do. And, where I'm going in life, you know, I've learned to respect myself and love myself because they told me, let us love you till you can learn to love yourself. I never knew what love was, you know. I came in with so many different masks. I'm truly honest and humble today with who I am, you know. You know, I say that I couldn't read or write, you know, and the program has given me so much that this past 2 weeks ago, I've been a pipe fitter my whole life, and I couldn't pass a test. I took it 8 times, and I couldn't pass it. And it's a certification for my for what I do for a living, and I passed it with an 80. You know, and that's what the program has given me. You know, I've learned how to read today. I can read the literature. I wanted this literature so bad. I wanted to know what it had to say that I was so hungry when I came in that I could read this, but I couldn't read anything else. You know, because this is the only thing that was so familiar to me is the lifestyle, you know, because I know this, you know, every time I read it, it's me, you know. I built some relationships in recovery that I never ever thought I would ever have with the members of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, this is an honor to me to come up here and do a workshop. You know, I'm nervous as hell. You know, it's the first time I've ever come to a convention and said my name. You know, I told myself I wouldn't pause between this, but you know what? It's just, it is what it is. But, you know, I've learned through my life that I have today, you know, it's beyond my wildest dreams. You know, recovery has given me a life that I never thought I would dream of. You know, I have a home today. I'm not living underneath the bridge. You know, I have a vehicle. I'm not walking the streets. You know, I have my children in my life who love me dearly. You know, my parents actually have something to do with me today and not have to hide their jewelry or their purses or, you know, or anything like that today, you know, because that was all due to working the steps. You know, I worked the steps and I worked on me and I learned how to love me so I could love everybody around me. You know, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect because I'm not. I'm not perfect by far. You know, but I am a work in progress, you know, and I have a sponsor who works with me daily. You know, I have some people in my life that I can call on anytime I'm going through a hard time. You know, they told me that, you know, the broader the base, the higher the freedom. I never knew what that was until I started calling other addicts, you know, and they started loving me for who I was. And they started talking to me through the situations that I was dealing with and telling me that, you know what, I can get through it, you know. And every time I got through a situation, I looked back and I was like, hey, man, that if I got through that, I can get through something even worse. You know, not saying that I wish anything worse on me. But my sponsor always tells me either I'm going through something or I'm coming out of something or I'm getting ready to go back through something. And so he always tells me that I need to be spiritually fit. And by spiritually fit is by, you know, praying to a higher power every day, getting up every morning, reading my Just for the Day. And, my life depends on this program. I mean, I would not be clean today if it wasn't for this program. I thank God for the person that was sitting where I was sitting when I came in. You know, because I know that I wouldn't have made it. Oh, good for doing it, man. Okay. Woo! Okay, y'all. I want to read something. It says, those of us who find a fellowship begin to live the steps, develop relationships with others. As we grow, we learn to overcome the tendency to run and hide from ourselves and our feelings. Being honest about our feelings helps others to identify with us. We find that we communicate honestly, we reach others. Honesty takes practice, and none of us claim to be perfect. When we feel trapped or prisoned, it takes a great spiritual and emotional strength to be honest. Sharing with others keeps our feelings isolated. Sharing with others keeps us from feeling isolated and alone. The process of a creative action of the spirit. You know, my sponsor always tells me that this is a spiritual program. You know, and I never knew what that was. Never knew what a spiritual was because I didn't know when I used it, God was nowhere a part of my recovery. I was spiritually broke, mentally broke, physically broke, you know. Damn, I'm just kind of speechless, y'all. But I'm working through it. Wow.
Got it. Good.
You know, I got to get totally honest with y'all, man. You know, I didn't want to get clean. I didn't want to do anything. You know, when I came in 117, 2017, I sat on the back row and I just wanted to find a way to use and not lose everything. You know, I wanted to figure out a magic potion, you know, a magical drug. You know, my disease took me to the farthest levels of my life. I smoked, I drank, I plugged dope, I ate dope, I shot dope, I did everything I could possibly do. You know, I did everything that I told myself that I would never do. You know, and throughout my using, I created a lot of hatred and remorse and anger towards myself. And it wasn't until I figured out that, you know, that I'm an addict. I never wanted to admit that I was an addict. I just wanted to come in and say, oh, yeah, my name's Pete. I'm an addict. And get people to feel sorry for me, co-sign my, you know, my bullshit, you know, because I was always a victim. You know, I was always a victim. You know, it was everybody else's fault was the reason why I used. And it wasn't until I came in and said, you know what, Pete, it's your, you know, you have to own your problems and do something different. You know, and what I did different was I came in, I got honest with myself. And when I got honest, I became humble, and I began to grow. You know, step three, I had to give it to God. Step one, I had to work to the fullest. Step four, I had to do some, get rid of some resentments, you know. And then, you know, I get to step, you know, nine. I have to make some amends, you know. And there were some things that was on my amends that I couldn't go into these places and tell them that I'd stole from. So my sponsor told me, you know what, Pete, the best thing to do is just go in there and buy things. You know, make that amends by buying things from that store. You know, I made amends to my children, and it wasn't about having to make them live through the pain and the hurt that I put them through. It was just simply I was sorry and making that daily amends by not using again. You know, and then when I got to step 10, you know, I got to make that, you know, that daily inventory. You know, I got to promptly admit it when I'm wrong, you know. And I got to do something different every day than I did the day before, you know. And every day is a challenge, man. I can't say, like I said, I'm not perfect, man. I've been working nights for the last 16 weeks. And the hardest thing is that I go to one meeting a week. And see, in the 12th step, I was told that I got to give back what was freely given to me. And that's to reach out to the newcomer. And before I started working these nights, you know, I was doing H&I, I was going into treatment centers, you know, I was carrying the message, I was going to every convention, you know, like Lake Whitney and all the fundraisers we were having in Tri-County, you know, and I was going at least five or six meetings a week, and that's why I'm real speechless right now because, like I said, my recovery's been on the back burner. I reach out to the people in my recovery, you know, the people in my support group, but sometimes that just isn't enough. You know, I have to go in and hear the message. You know, I get off work at 4:30 in the morning. I go to sleep. I wake up at 2:00. My day starts all over. I cook dinner. I'm out the door by 4:00, and I start back to work at 6:00. You know, and when I got clean, the only thing I wanted to do was get a good night's rest. You know, because I ran the streets for so long, you know, I ran, run and gunned, you know, and chasing that fucking, that disease. And, excuse me, I'm very sorry for cussing in front of your child. But, you know, so when my first 3 or 4 weeks of working these nights, you know, my disease started coming back to me, you know, all them unnatural feelings, you know, them feelings of that, you know, that I was trapped in before when I was using, you know, and I couldn't reach out to anybody at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I started fantasizing about this disease, man. I started, you know, and these guys would come to work and they would talk about, hey, man, you know, we're going to go out. You know, last weekend, last Sunday, I went and was chilled out and drank some beer. And so I started fantasizing that stuff, man. And I started talking to them and telling them, oh, yeah, man, I'm going to go home and I'm going to barbecue this weekend. And I'm going to chill with the neighbor and I'm going to drink some alcohol. And, you know, and I'm going to get tore up because, see, I started living in the disease again. And it wasn't until I got with my sponsor and he said, you know what, Pete? You know, you're not being honest. You know, you're not doing what the program has taught you. You know, you're lying, and what you're doing is you're opening a door that you're not going to be able to go back, that you're going to go back out. You know, and then I started treating the person that who lives with me like shit because it's her fault that I'm working nights. You know, it's her fault that I'm not getting any rest. You know, it's her fault because she's not paying my bills that I've created through being clean. Right? You know, because we get some responsibilities in here, right? You know, something that I never had. You know, I got a nice bed that I sleep in tonight. I mean, not last night. That room was hot as hell. I mean, you're serious, man. I think I got like 2 hours worth of sleep, and I didn't go to bed till 2:30 because remember I told you I work nights. So my brain don't shut off like that. And plus, I drank a bunch of coffee yesterday. I loved it. You know, I mean, I got to do some things in recovery that I haven't done in weeks, and I took full advantage of it. You know, I got to see my brother tell the story again last night, man, in a workshop, man. And, you know, this guy got clean with me in 2014, you know, and we went through some real situations. And I got 18 months clean in 2014. I decided that this program wasn't for me, and I went back out. And it wasn't until I came back in 2017 that I really made a decision to work the steps, because it says in relapse and recovery, you know, it says right here, I want to phrase it that's because I think I know it all, but I really don't. But it says we have never seen a person who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. And see, I wanted to live it my way. I didn't want to live it the Narcotics Anonymous way. You know, I didn't want to work some steps, like I said, because remember I told you I couldn't read or write. I was scared shitless. You know, I was a big badass when I came in here, you know, because my pants were hanging halfway off my ass. I had some nice shoes on. You know, I had my hat hanging down low. You know, I was a gangster, man. But see, I was a scared little boy sitting in the corner, scared shitless. And it wasn't until I worked on me, I figured out that, you know what, I don't have to be that scared little boy anymore. You know, all them things that happened to me as a child, I don't have to live with that shit no more. You know, I know that one thing is that, you know what, I'm free. I'm free from all that today. Because I sit down and I opened up, you know, with another man that I could trust, because I didn't come in here trusting anybody. You know, I didn't even have any trust in myself. You know, when I picked up 5 years, it took me a couple months to realize that I'd picked up 5 years, because that's the only thing I'd done consecutively was stay clean no matter decisions I made. Wow, she said 5 minutes. Well, see, I got on track, didn't I? Yeah, man, you know, this process of recovery, man, it's an amazing journey. You know, and sitting here today speaking to y'all, you know, it gives me so much gratitude, man, because without y'all, I can't do this, you know. And without y'all, man, I won't have the life that I have today. You know, I need y'all. You know, that one with that guy that comes in here on their first day of recovery, man, that sits down in that room and says, this is my first meeting I'm in. It's my job to give my experience strength and hope, you know. And what that is that it says any addict can lose a desire to use and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and our promise is freedom. See, I'm free today. By simply just saying, hey, just stay, man. Let us learn to love. Let us love you till you can learn to love yourself. Wait 5 minutes for that miracle, y'all. Sometimes that wait takes weeks. Days, weeks, months, or years, but wait that 5 minutes. Man, that guy right there told me that. Because I didn't want to wait 5 minutes. I wanted that instant gratification. You know, I got some wonderful people in my life today. You know, I told this man, hey, I'm working a workshop tomorrow. You know what he said? I'll be there. Man, that's accountability. That's the love that I need. And the only way I get it is in here, because my parents didn't love me when I came in. My children couldn't stand me. I'd burnt so many bridges before I came into rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. And I lied and I cheated. I manipulated everybody coming in and out of these rooms for 14 years. You know, I let people love me just long enough to walk out on them, like everybody has done me my whole life. I was just acting on my character defects. You know. I'm grateful to be here today, y'all, and I want to tell y'all, if nobody's told y'all they love you, I do. And this program works if you work it. It's an action program. And that's all I really got.
My name is Victoria. I'm an addict. My clean date is May 26, 2011. For that, I'm truly grateful. I really like this this literature that we have, the Living Clean book and the Growing Pains chapter. I was laughing that they chose me to speak about that, right? And like this chapter goes on to talk about like how we help others. Like there's so much goodness in this fucking chapter. Like I was just reading, like rereading it right now while he was sharing, cause I was all anxious. I was like, I gotta speak. Fuck. And like, it's talking about, like so much shit that I have experience with. Right. And one of my sponsors used to tell me experiences when things don't go our way and we want them to. And I was like, oh, I have a lot of experience with that. Like, I always want to live in self-will, and God's like, nah, right? So, like, it's just so mind-blowing. Like, all this, like, this literature, like, it's mind-blowing that I'm even sitting in this room right now, right? I'm real grateful that they asked me to speak. I'm a little upset that it was at 9 a.m. because I usually wake up at 9 a.m. But it's okay. I'm here. And I woke up early. Like I woke up without my alarm even going off. I was like, oh cool, this is cute. My phone's been messing up, so it like isn't making noise, so my alarm did not go off. It was just like vibrating on the bed, and I was like, what is going on here, right? And then trying to get my 4-year-old to wake up is also a task, so there was that. But I made it here 2 minutes late. So I got clean when I was 18. And I turned 29 this year. So I've literally like been spending my entire adult life growing up in Narcotics Anonymous, right? And like people have watched me grow up in Narcotics Anonymous. Like it's not just been me growing up, it's been me growing up with other people and other people watching me grow up in this process, right? And I moved to San Antonio 7 years ago from Corpus Christi. That's where I originally got clean. And I feel like for the first like 4 years of my recovery, I was like not really doing the things that I should be doing, like suggested for me to live, like the literature says, right? Like I was making meetings once a month. I was in a relationship at 9 months clean. I was manipulating people to get things that I wanted, lying, stealing from people, right? Living dirty, but I was clean. And like I got real fucking tired of it. Like, I was like, I'm real tired of living the way that I'm living, and I need to change something or I'm going to go get high, right? And, like, I was at this fork in a road where I was like, move to San Antonio or go get high. And I was like, I'm going to move to San Antonio, right? And I moved to San Antonio in 2015, and my life has changed drastically since I moved to San Antonio, right? I got real involved in service work. I got a sponsor, and I actually started working the steps, like, on different things than just the drug use. Because my first round of steps was about the drug use. And then my second round, I did it on my actions, reactions, behaviors, and responses to people. And now I'm on my third round of steps, and it's about something totally different, right? So, like, the process of, like, going through growing pains in recovery and, like, rolling up our sleeves and getting to work, right? I like this part of the Living Clean on page 8 in the beginning of this chapter that it says, grief, hardship, or betrayal can make us feel terribly lonely. Let me go back to the beginning of it. Sometimes an event like a breakup, the loss of a job, or changes in our family triggers a flow of feelings and it doesn't stop. Grief, hardship, or betrayal can make us feel terribly lonely. Occasionally, we experience physical changes that bring emotional fright with them, including depression, anxiety, and deep fear. Right? So, I recently lost my job. And I have been jobless since June 28th is when I got fired from my job. And like I've been through this process of like, I'm also a full-time student. So like I went through this like process of like, what the hell am I going to do? Cause I have a lot of responsibilities today, right? Like I got clean, I got some things and I have a tiny human and all these things that I have, that I have to take care of. Yes. My very sassy tiny human is in the room today. And I think this is like the first time she's actually sat. No, this is the second time she sat in the room while I shared my story, but she's a little bit older now. So she understands a little bit more. Right. So I lost my job and that's the first time I've ever been fired from a job in my 11 years of being clean. And I was like, what the fuck? Right. I was real taken aback by it for like the first week. And then I started applying the tools from the steps that I've worked into, like, accepting the fact that I had gotten fired, and then, like, trying to come with a solution and figure out what I'm going to do. And, like, my higher power just, like, laid it all into place, right? Like, he just laid it all into place for me like he always does. And I always try to live in self-will, and my higher power is like, nah, bro, I'm going to take care of you. Just chill, right? So, like, it was crazy, right? Like, I've been in school for 5 years, and I've been working full-time and going to school full-time and taking care of my daughter as a single mother for the past 5 years, right? And I was like, I'm real fucking tired. I'm getting burnt out. I'm getting, like, I was about to quit my job before they fired me. So I was like, you know, maybe this was God's will for me, right? And, like, I have this friend that moved in with me, and I have a roommate now, right? And it's crazy because, like, before she moved in with me, like, I was getting real lonely. I was feeling lonely. I was having a lot of anxiety. I still have anxiety. And I was feeling like, you know, like, I want to go act out. Like, I want to go use, but not use, like, drugs, use other things, right? I don't want to talk about it because my kid's in the room. But you can get what I mean, you know? Because I'll use the two-legged dope to get high and change how I feel, and I don't want to live like that today, right? Because I'm better, like, I deserve better. I'm not better. I deserve better than that today, right? Because I've been through a lot of relationship losses. I've been through a lot of family triggers, like differences with my family. I've been through a lot of grief. I've been through a lot of hardship in my recovery, right? But the thing was that, like, I would always fall down and I would get right back up and I would keep going. Like, you can't fail unless you try. And if you don't try, you can't fail. So, like, I was always trying to do different things and trying and trying and trying. And I finally just said, I'm tired of this shit, and I gave up, right? So I'm working my steps on that now, like how my disease is manifested into that area. And shopping, because I love to shop. And it's bad. I'm always buying something, right? But I'm doing my best to not act on that today. And, you know, not having a job helps with that. Because you need money to shop, and nobody's shopping for me or giving me money to shop. It's all my own things, right? So the loneliness that I was experiencing before my roommate moved in was it was terrible, right? And then she moved in with me, and I was like, I've never had, like, I had a roommate before, but it was one of my good friends, and that just didn't work out, and it was a bad experience, right? And I was like, you know, I think this will be good, right? Like, I think this experience will be pretty cool. It'll be chill. And, like, it has not been nothing but chill. Like, I've been developing a wonderful friendship with my roommate. Like, we would rarely see each other because we were always working, and now we're both not working. So we're just always seeing each other, but we vibe well. Like, my daughter loves her. Like, it's just, it's crazy, like, what our higher power does for us, right? And it's, like, totally weird because I've known this lady for, like, since the beginning of my recovery. And I was like, girl, I told her the other day, I was like, do you ever think that we would be in this position, like, where you would be my roommate, like, living with me, right? And, like, I'm real grateful that she moved in with me because I lost my job shortly after she moved in. And I was like, how the fuck am I going to pay $1,089 in rent every month without a job, right? But I don't have to pay all of it. Like, I'm not alone. And, like, somebody, like, there's also somebody else that helps me, and I'm not going through this shit alone, right? And, like, I switched my school schedule. So, like, I'm on campus, like, in person, like, going to classes, like, during the day when I should be working. Like, I'm just a full-time student, and I'm actually getting to experience, like, going to university and, like, being in school, right? And I've never, like, I haven't experienced that the entire time I've been in school. Like, I dropped out of high school when I was a freshman. Like, I was a freshman 3 times, and I said, bye. Like, I'm not trying to do this, right? My mom was sitting in court with me, and she told them to court order me to get my GED because I wasn't going to go to school. Like, she knew better, like, when I was using that I was not going to go to school, right? So she was like, okay, you should court order her to get her GED. And I was like, I don't want to go to that fucking GED school, right? And I remember, like, in the end of my addiction, like, I would go every day to that GED school so I could get my GED because I had a glimpse of hope that my future would be bright one day, right? And I'm real grateful that I got my GED. And, like, it took me 7 years to get back to school. And I finally did it, right? Like, I got pregnant with my daughter. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, I had 6 years clean. I was living with my parents still. I had, like, minimal responsibilities, no idea what I was going to do with my life and my future. And I was just like in recovery, doing service work and staying clean, right? Like that's what I knew what to do. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, I was like, I got to do something. Like I got to, like, I'm not going to live off minimum wage for the rest of my life, taking care of a kid and struggling, right? So like I got this vision of hope, right? That I was going to go back to school and my lost dreams awoken and I did all these things, right? And like it says on here, oh man, I love this part. It says our vision of hope for ourselves is a fleeting glimpse of what our higher power's will for us is. And I'm like this, bro, like if I would have thought of the things that I have today or the life that I live today, like I would have been selling myself way short, right? When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, all I wanted was money. Like, that's all I cared about. Like, I was like, how can I get money and who am I going to screw over to get money and how am I going to do these things, right? And today I don't care about that. Like, I don't, like, money is the last thing that I worry about. And it's been a process of, like, taking giant leaps of faith and trusting the process, right? Going through growing pains. I used to always tell my friend when I first moved to San Antonio, you got to go through it to grow through it, right? And I was still participating in some behavior when I moved to San Antonio, but I stopped it. Like I got real busy with service work. I got real busy working my steps. I got real busy attending meetings. My parents were always like, where are you at? You're never home. Why are you always at NA meetings? Why do you go to meetings and blah, blah, blah. Like they were questioning what I was doing because I was only like 22 when I moved to San Antonio and I lived with them and I was supposed to go to school and they were like, why aren't you in school yet? Right? Like they were like getting after me. Right. And I was like, you know, it's just not time. Like my higher power hasn't put that into place. Like every time I would try to go to school or I would apply to go to school before I actually started going to school, something would happen. And it was like, I wouldn't get my financial aid and I don't have money to pay for school, like out of my own pocket. Right. So it was like, how am I going to do that? My parents didn't pay for my college. So it was like just different things that would always happen before certain things that happened in my life and my recovery. And I'm like, holy shit. Right. So I like how it talks about the principles and the steps teach us how to live life on life's terms and gives us the courage, strength, and wisdom to stay clean no matter what. Right. And there's been a lot of times in my recovery where I've had to stay clean no matter what. Like there is not an option of using drugs for me today. Like, I'll use different things sometimes. I'll act out on my disease in that way, but I refuse to allow myself to go and get high. Like if you put that fucking first drug in, you're done, right? Like you're out there, and I refuse to allow that to happen, right? Like I have, like using is not an option in my life today because I'm a fucking responsible member of society because of Narcotics Anonymous. Like I have a lot of friends that love me and a lot of them are sitting in this room. I told them I was going to speak at 9 a.m. and I'm like, you know what, if you're not awake that early, I totally understand. Like, I won't be mad at you. Right. And they're here, like they're sitting in this room and I'm like, wow, like people love me today. Right. And when I came into the program, I was not a very lovable person. So it's like the process of working the steps, the person you become through working the steps, the principles you get from working the steps, and applying them like in your life, right? Like you don't just like get clean and not help others. Like you get clean and like do some things to help others and do some service work and continue working steps. I have 5 sponsees right now and it blows my fucking mind. I'm like, how did this happen? Right? For the longest time, I've had maybe 1 or 2 sponsees. They've left. They haven't come back. They'll work 1, 2, 3. They'll relapse. I don't know what's going on. Right. And I'm like, what is it like? I wish I could just shake people and like give them Narcotics Anonymous, like information in their brain, right? Like just shake them until they get it, right? And you can't do that. So like right now it's blowing my mind. Like I have 5 sponsees and it's like, it's crazy, right? And right here it says there's great satisfaction in being able to not just look back, but to reach back and to help someone else, right? And like, I don't just like look back today and I'm like, holy shit. Like I look back and I help others when I'm looking back. And I help others today. And it's amazing. Like I was so fucking selfish when I came into this program. I didn't care about anyone but myself. And today I care about myself, but I also care about others. And it's really fucking beautiful, right? Like that freedom you get from helping others. Of course, like I do it in a healthy manner. Like I make sure I put myself first. I make sure that my recovery is first and make sure my kids taken care of. And then I'll help others, right? So it's like, it's beautiful, right? Like, it helps me get through hard times. Like, the times that I've been through in the past 7 years, like, becoming pregnant with my daughter and then becoming a single mother, like, shortly after having her. Like, I've been raising that kid on my own since she was 4 months old. But I haven't been on my own. Like, people in NA have helped me, right? There's, like, I remember, like, one of my best friends is sitting in this room, and like, she was the first person I told I was pregnant. And I was like, the first thing I thought was like, how am I going to fulfill my service commitments? Right? Like, who thinks about that shit when they find out they're pregnant? Like, right. And like today, like, I don't have a fucking job, but like, I'm traveling, like, I'm here in Houston right now. And I don't even know, like, my higher power made it capable for me to be here. Right. Like, I was like, I got to go speak. So I'm going to come fucking show up and make my commitment. Right. I may have only $100 and don't know how I'm going to eat, but I got them food stamps. I'll find some food or something, you know? I don't care. I'm not ashamed of that today, right? And it's okay. Like, I love myself today, and I'm okay with sharing genuinely with myself with others today. Like, you would ask me to say some shit like that 5 years ago, I've been like, right? And it talks about, like, it can take years to let go enough to feel freedom. Right. And like, there was years in my recovery where I didn't feel free. Right. Like, I was like still miserable, still trying to find things to change how I feel, still trying to think that a job would complete me, still trying to think that a man could complete me, still trying to think that if I go to enough meetings, that's going to complete me. Right. And like, it was really just like me living in a thorough third step and like trusting the process, allowing my higher power, like 3 and 11. Right. And it was like, damn, man, like, I love my relationship that I have with my higher power today, right? Like, I don't know how I don't, like, worry about this shit that I have going on in my life, and I just trust the process, but it works, and it fucking works, right? And, like, I'm going to North Carolina in October. I've never been to North Carolina. I went to Detroit, like, in the end of August. One of my best friends, he owns a jewelry company. He sends me to work for him at different conventions. And it's like, you know, like, I'm doing shit, like, living life like I never thought I would. Like, I've never been to fucking Detroit. I've never been to North Carolina. Like, I've been to some states, but, like, I've never been, like, you know, like, and I went and saw The Bean in Chicago. And it was like, I just can't believe the life I live today, right? Like, to be able to see, like, I've always wanted to see the fucking Bean, like, out of all the things in the world, like, I've always wanted to see The Bean in Chicago. I had a 4-hour layover. I said, I'm the fuck out. I'm going to go. I left the airport, had to go back through security just to see The Bean, you know? And it was beautiful because, and it was raining, and I hate it when it rains, but it was like, it wasn't bad. Like, it was cool. It was raining, and it was such a beautiful experience. Right. And to be able to, like, just look at The Bean and, like, be present and living in the moment, like, it was nice, right? Because, like, I've always lived in fear. Like, I've always been afraid of things. I've always worried about things. And, like, I don't live like that today. And it's because of the steps. It's because of me doing the work. It's because of me trusting the process. It's because of me allowing my higher power to take care of me and not live in self-will, right? The relationship I had with my daughter's father, I settled, right? Like, I was living in self-will. I wanted so bad to raise my daughter with her dad because I came from a broken home. And, like, it just wasn't in the cards. Like, my higher power was like, this is not what you're getting. You're going to get this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to take care of you, right? And, like, I remember being so, like, it was such a hard and difficult time for me to go through my recovery when I became a single mom. Like, the feelings, the emotions, the process, like, and you know, it reminded me of, like, when I first came into NA and I was told, like, you know, you're never going to get high again. Right. And I was like, oh, I'm 18. That's a lot. And, like, my first ever sponsor telling me, like, the only way to get through anything in recovery is just to accept it all. Right. To just let go of it and accept it. And I was like, okay. So, like, I applied that to me becoming a single parent. Right. And like, I have never felt like there's been some moments, but like, I've never felt like I'm all alone with my daughter and that's it. Like, there's been a lot of times where I can reach out to anyone and they're more than willing to help me with my kid. Right. The same with schoolwork. Like, I've thought there's been times where I've wanted to drop out for the past like two semesters. Like, I just want to drop out of college. I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to do this shit. I'm tired. And Narcotics Anonymous told me, like, showed me, like, you know, like, you suit up, you show up no matter what, and you keep going until you're fucking, until you're done, right? Like, until you need to accomplish that thing, right? And, like, I'm telling you, man, like, right now I have a student leadership commitment for my school for the HR management leadership team. And I'm like, this is cool. Like, I get to experience life being in college, like, with college students, and, like, I don't have, like, that negative stigma, like, these kids don't know what the fuck's going on. They don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was thinking that for a few years. And, like, it's just crazy, right? Like, so, like, going through this process that I'm going through right now and, like, just being happy still, like, is mind-blowing to me because, like, I want money sometimes. I want to shop all the time, you know? And it's like, I have to learn how to like budget and I have to learn how to like just pay my bills and be okay with that and be grateful that like I have a roof over my head, food in my fridge, and a car to drive around in. Cause there's people that don't have that. And like, I wouldn't have any of the things that I have today if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I'm not mistaken about that. Right. Like, I love this. it says making peace with loss is one way we learn acceptance, right? And like when you make peace with losing things, like I definitely feel that in my spirit. Like when you make peace with losing things or going through things, like you get acceptance. And like acceptance helps you get through like pretty much anything in recovery. How much time do I have? Am I good? Oh, yeah, I have 5 minutes. Perfect. I'm like, I'll start rambling and talking, girl. And then it, like, a lot of this chapter talks about, like, being spiritual, like, having faith in your higher power. Having all the answers makes it hard to be teachable. And I always tell myself to, like, I always tell my friends, like, if I say I know, like, tell me to shut the fuck up because I don't know, right? Like, if I'm telling you I know something, like, I need to stop because I am not being open-minded. Right? Like I tell my friends all the time, if you ever hear me say I know, tell me to please shut the fuck up because I don't know anything. Right? And if I go throughout the process of recovery without an open mind, like I'm selling myself short of learning things. Right? I'm selling myself short of allowing others to love me. I'm selling myself short of allowing myself to help others. And it's like, I don't know shit. Is she cold? So it's like, and then it talks about like how acceptance is not an all or nothing event and it doesn't necessarily happen all at once. Like many, like so many lessons in recovery, there are less painful ways to learn, but they're not always the ones that stay with us. Like I've been through a lot of experiences that have been painful in my recovery because I didn't want to learn that. Like I wanted to learn them the hard way. Right. And like today I'm just like, you can take that please. Cause I don't want to deal with that. And I don't want to live in self-will and I don't want to fucking have like a, I don't like the feelings or the emotions that come with me living in self-will. Like it's always difficult. It's always negative. It's always hard for me to go through. And like, I know, like, I don't know, but I know that when I'm living in my higher power's will, like I always tell one of my friends, God's will always far exceeds our own will. Right. And like, I'm just real fucking grateful for this program. And I'm real grateful that this convention asked me to speak, even though it's at 9 a.m. I'm a little upset about that. I'm going to have to talk to Joe. No, I'm just kidding. I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful that y'all all showed up because I was expecting like 3 people to be in here and I was cool with that. And I'm going to close with this. It says on the very last sentence of this chapter, it says, we learn, we grow, we give, we create, and we keep coming back. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share, guys. Thank you.